Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And with all the topsy-turvy going on in the financial sector and with the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can keep your money, keep your retirement, Noble Gold can prevent all that. I know I've been a customer for 8 years. You can benefit. I want you to call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And if you forget the number, which is understandable, then just simply go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's easy to remember, DaveHodgesGold.com. Our guest, and I'll tell you, this is going to be not short of controversy or for the faint of heart, but our guest is Holly Baglio. She's a whistleblower, a survivor. She's also an ordained minister who's come forward to expose some of the darkest crimes against humanity. For 37 years, she was trafficked and used in CIA and black ops, under the control of the military-industrial complex across U.S., USA, U.K., Canada. These government-funded programs subjected her to extreme trauma torture, the mind control that went with it, the surgical enhancements, and the human experimentation. And we've covered some of this kind of behavior before, but we're going to get it in concentrated form today. Her experience is extended to elite circles, global locations, including surviving human hunting parties. And we covered that a number of years ago at Buckingham Palace in Bohemian Grove, as well as having breeding programs. And despite these decades of darkness, Holly found the light and fought her way to freedom. The super soldier projects eventually ended and three former operatives returned to rescue her after their own release. In 2014, Holly began a process of deprogramming with the guidance of Ralph Skadesh, and I may have mispronounced that, and by December of 2022, she received full integration and hearing from dissociative identity disorder. And folks, I got to tell you, as a former therapist, this is extremely difficult to treat. It's very, very, very stubborn. She survived satanic ritual abuse, MK Ultra programming, and once divided into 169 alter egos, and that means 169 separate personalities, and she is now fully integrated and one whole person again. Her autobiography, Kids in a Cage, will be released at the end of the month on Holly Baglio, B-A-G-L-I-O, hollybaglio.com. The book includes 125 original drawings and detailed descriptions that coincide with her story. Wow, this is going to be interesting to say the least. And we haven't touched on something this traumatic for some time in this field. We're certainly no stranger to the topic, but this is as bad of abuse as I've ever seen. Holly, I want to welcome you to the show. And I want to let you know I appreciate your courage and the work that you're doing. I know we share a common friend in Sam, and he's a frequent guest on my show as my Latin American expert. He's excellent. But he said, you've got to interview Holly. And I was somewhat familiar with your case, but not to the detail that I just read. In educating our public, and in particular my audience, where do you think we should start?
Well, maybe at the beginning, possibly.
Yeah. Kind of like a Johnny Ghost story where Johnny was taken when he was delivering papers and, you know, that story. Is it like you were abducted off the street? How did that happen?
Not similar, but not really. I was born into these projects. So Joseph Mengele, the Nazi scientist from World War II, nicknamed the Angel of Death, he used gene splicing and created me, and I was implanted in my mother's womb, and the MKUltra programming started then because I was traumatized. So when she gave birth to me, I was born breech, which means I was bent in half and my butt came out first. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I have two sets of memories. I have one set of my normal life, where we are now, and then another set from the deep underground military bases. So wow.
These what they call the dumbs?
Yes.
Yes. Dumbs. Okay.
Yep.
I've got to share something with you, and I don't know if this is the direction you're going, but you just triggered something in me, and I've told the story to my audience before, When I was about 24 years old, I knew this couple not real well, and I played basketball with the man, his girlfriend. They said, "We want to introduce you to a girl. She's really beautiful. She's so nice. You're going to like her." So on St. Patrick's Day, and I remember it well, I think it was 1982, I went and met this person, and my two friends are kind of friends, acquaintances were with me. And she was very attractive, very well spoken, and she said she was a teacher. Well, the two decided that they would exit and left us alone. And I should say this as a matter of background. My dad did some high-level work in naval intelligence, both when he was in the Navy and after he was out of the Navy. And I was recruited for that business and did not go through with it. And I think it might have played a role in this. But as I was talking to her, and this is the point you triggered in me, I asked her, "What kind of teacher are you? Teach like first or second grade?" She goes, "No, I teach alien hybrids how to harmonize into society." Now, at that time, that freaked me out. I'd like to have talked to her now. I'd have stayed and explored more. I couldn't get away from her fast enough. I thought this was a true nutcase, and it was because of my age and my lack of experience. Does that kind of ring a bell for you? Does that make any sense to you that I would have had that encounter?
Oh, absolutely. Because in the Dumbs, they had schools like you have public schools on the surface of the earth. We had schools in the Dumbs where we were taught different languages and symbols and signs. But we also worked with different alien species. And I have fragmented memories of being a small child and interacting with these different alien species and putting together some sort of puzzle with them. So, like looking back, it makes sense. But yeah, at the time, I would have been thrown off too, Dave, honestly.
Wow, that just is just amazing to me. I know about the Dumbs in terms of black ops projects and fighting the Russians in the old days and preparing for catastrophes, but I didn't know that they were breeding farms or they were tied to ritualistic satanic sexual abuse like what you experienced. How common is that in these Dumbs?
Absolutely common. Not to get off on the wrong direction, but incest is extremely common, especially among the elite families. And they do put their kids through the same similar MK Ultra projects as well. So, I remember being programmed with the animals, and I would be locked in Skinner boxes or in a playpen with overgrown monkeys or what looked like werewolves. And I was just a small child, so everything looked mutant and overgrown to me. But these animals were huge, and I would be placed in a Skinner box for an unlimited amount of time with different snakes and spiders. We were all forced, as kids were forced to be a part of satanic rituals, and I was told that bestiality was a part of it. But the memories that I have clear are the animals were mutilated and sacrificed as well as the children. And I probably didn't answer your question very well, Dave, so I apologize.
Oh, some of this is new to me. I mean, I'm kind
Okay.
of generally familiar with the topic, but it's new to me. You triggered something else in me too. If you go to the Old Testament in Genesis 6, verse 4, it says, "And they were there afterwards," where they're talking about the Nephilim, the fallen angels. And here's what you triggered in me. It says, "And they were there afterward." After what? The next verse is about the flood. And I know the royal families intermarried. I know there was incest throughout the ages. And the thinking on the part of some pastors, and this is now a debate in eschatology, is that these are descendants of fallen angels, and it's an attempt to keep the DNA as pure as possible.
Yes, it is. So the 13 Illuminati families, they contain 10 bloodlines. If you read in Revelation, you hear about 10 kings, but there's 10 bloodlines, so they're trying to preserve those bloodlines. But also with Queen Elizabeth and even the Rothschilds, the firstborn child that they have, they always sacrifice that. They sacrifice that firstborn, as far as I know. I was put through the breeding projects. So the same Rothschild who paid Joseph Mengele money to create me also engaged with me. So that on a technicality would have been my father. When I gave birth to the baby, immediately upon delivery, it was sacrificed. And he used the blood for other means as well, the adrenochrome.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the adrenochrome and Hillary Clinton's propensity for it, and that she visits a Satan temple, to lack of a better term, in L.A. once a month. And this is where she gets her adrenochrome. And are you familiar with that story?
It doesn't surprise me, because I believe I remember Hillary Clinton harming me and the other kids as we went through these projects too, because these politicians would call up and order us like we were fast food. And sometimes the kids never made it back home.
It never made it back home. I've heard these stories about the hunting parties that you've alluded to in your biography, that they'd be taken to islands, maybe Epstein Island, something like that. And when they were done being used sexually, then they would hunt some of these kids for sport, like they were wild animals. Are those accurate accounts?
Absolutely. When I was young, I was trafficked on a commercial airliner, and they had a fake passport for me. It was 1 month and 1 day and 1 year added to my birth date. And I was taken over to Buckingham Palace and chained up in the dungeons there. But that's the first human hunting party. And then the second one was at Castle Amaroy, which people call the Mothers of Darkness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the adults would use us for sex, games, and then snuff the rest of the children. It was just for pleasure for them.
Is this some of the origin of what we call snuff films from Hollywood's dark side?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, because they record all of it. Every time they're hurting the children, they record it. But also when Mengele and the other programmers would program us children, they would dress up as different characters, whether characters in the Bible or witches and werewolves. And they would act out different roles in different skits and sacrifice the children. So they were not only opening up to us to the spirit realm, they were summoning these things in.
Wow. So there is a satanic component to this that we, okay. Because Paul Begley is a real popular and excellent theologian and pastor. He's told me some of these things, and he said, this is the hot topic with fallen angels involved in this, and it's all satanic. That makes a great deal of sense to me. Because this is in the news, I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with Epstein's Island? Is there such a thing, and did you ever go there?
Well, Epstein looks very familiar himself. At first, I thought I was on his island because of that replica of that temple he had.
Uh-huh.
But I was confused. I don't believe I was on the island. I do believe I had interactions with him, though. And he did have a ranch as well. But all of that is absolutely true. The child trafficking, everything.
Yeah. Do you think the only reason they're keeping this list as close to the vest as possible is to protect politicians and the elite corporates? Or is there something else at work here?
Well, yeah, there's definitely different agendas at play here. But it's to protect the elites. They don't want the information getting out, because if it does, it would definitely shock the world, but it would take down a lot of people, because so many people are involved. And it's such a rough topic. I think a lot of people's hearts would fail them, and they wouldn't even be able to believe it.
The Bible says that, too, that the end times will contain events that are so traumatic that people's hearts will fail them. Yeah, this is pretty tough. How do you know this was CIA and a black operation that you were a part of?
Because I was around military personnel, and I was brought into, I have memories of being brought into the deep underground military bases and a big mechanical long arm reaching out and scanning my forehead just for the doors to open to let me enter. And there were different levels. I was not on all of them, but it was made clear to me that I was in an underground military base, whether they told me, they didn't necessarily tell me where I was, but there was another time I was in Nelson, Canada. That was an above ground government facility. And that was clear to see because in the evenings they would open up the hangar doors and leave us kids subject to the winter nights.
Wow. You mentioned ETs. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, ETs, I kind of equate them with the fallen angels and then their offspring that continue to mate, but they are warehoused in these deep underground military bases. I feel that the public has a misunderstanding of what they really are. They do not warehouse our military personnel. They're not there for our protection. These deep underground military bases warehouse alien species, the fallen ones. They can hide their evil deeds in these underground bases. Of course, I have to draw a blank at the wrong time. But these underground military bases also manufacture adrenochrome. So these bases are not in the public's best interest.
Oh, so absolutely amazing. Do you think these ETs, the Greys, are androids or are they actual biological entities?
I think the little gray aliens might be a robot, but the other ones are actually entities, fallen entities, interdimensional beings. But I think the little gray aliens, they might actually be robotics with a meat suit on them, like a drone. But there are different alien species, and they're very much active with our government.
Yeah, well, we got the rumors of MJ-12 and treaties signed with Truman and Eisenhower and so forth. So yeah, I have a hard time validating that. It's interesting. My dad worked with captured German scientists. They call that Operation Paperclip. He never referred to it as that. And he asked the Germans, he said, "How did you get so far ahead of us in the physics?" They go, "Oh, we got it from aliens." Now, my dad didn't buy it because he knew they were into the occult big time in the Nazi party. And he thought it was demonic influence. And when he was relating the story to me at the end of his life, he said, I don't buy the ET part from other planets. He goes, "But I do buy the fact that this is demonic." What's
Yes.
your reaction to your experience with that regard?
Oh, he's absolutely right. These are interdimensional beings, and I think that's what's being hidden because if you think it takes some sort of vehicle to get to another planet to see these things, then you might not realize that Yahusha, which is the Hebrew name of Jesus, that Yahusha and calling out to Yahusha will get rid of these entities when you're face to face with them. But they are interdimensional beings and they are demonic, absolutely.
Trust me on this question, okay? I'm not going off the deep end here, but I'm asking for a purpose given what we've talked about. Have you seen any evidence of things that would involve time dilation or time travel experiments?
I was a part of Montauk and traffic through there as well. So I remember the SAGE radar and some of their experiments. But my memory gets very hazy and fuzzy because I was scared. I was scared. And those frequencies were very painful. And they also administer different types of drugs and chemicals, whether it be to enhance psychic abilities or for another reason. So I can't remember the exact experiments, but I can remember begging for my life right up until the time the programmers started them.
Yeah,
But
well,
yes.
the reason I asked about the time dilation experiments is this. I've had this discussion with some pastors who are very well in the know for pastors. They're not mainstream. And they think that these entities are going to try to create a time lapse when the second coming happens with Jesus, so they can be elsewhere other than judgment and survive and keep the war going. That's their theory.
Okay, yeah, but they're not going to be successful
No,
at it.
I agree with you.
Yahusha's got that figured out already.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't know the how, but because I worried about that, because he's supposed to return and remove the tares, and for some of us, that's him vindicating me. I'm depending on him, and it's wrath and vengeance. So I think Yahusha has that figured out, and he's not going to let them escape.
It's interesting, but at CERN, where I think these experiments are going on, you have all kinds of satanic symbols around the facility, and this is why I think this is what's going on there. And like I said, I think they're trying to avoid final judgment, but God's in charge of all science, so they're not going to fool him, even though I think they might. And the battle continues. Did you get any kind of information, a look ahead for what their ultimate plan is, where they're headed with things?
I wish I had all my memories back, because that is exactly the information I'm after. And if I ever retrieve that information and recall it, you and everybody else will be the first that I tell. But I can say I was programmed for the end times, and I would have been called forward to help bring forth the New World Order, which I call the Fourth Reich Rising.
Right.
They're going to try to do another 1,000-year rule. Again, they won't be successful, but honestly, I think that now's the time that the elites are going to try to start to do things to anger Heavenly Abba, to force him to come back. I don't think it's going to happen 20 or 30 years from now. I think that this is the time period that we should be concerned with.
I don't want to accept that, but I have to tell you, I see a lot of signs too. Although the Bible's very clear about how tribulation will unfold, we're not there, but we could be pre-trib. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that. The other thing that I've come across in this work, and I had a friend who was deep in fact, his name's Vance Davis, been on my show. We've been friends for over 30 years. He was in NATO, but he was NSA Army attached. And they were supposed to duplicate the Nazi demonic experiments for scientific advancements. They refused. And I won't go into the long story, but he was able to get out of his service with this. But what he told me was that he felt there was an assimilation program for what he learned. In other words, in the facilities you're in, they're creating replacements for public figures to take their place. Do you know anything about that?
It triggers me, and I just get very, very confused. I did an interview the other day, and I think somebody mentioned this, and I still have a lot of confusion. I don't know. I'm gonna have to spend time with Heavenly Abba to figure out why.
And it's funny, this parallels an old Outer Limits story, where it was the Chinese, though, and not the aliens, but it was the same thing he described. And I've had other people tell me the same story. And certainly with our ability to clone and so forth, I could see that being a real possibility. Did you see any cloning experiments?
Yes, I was a part of them. They had clones made of me. So when I was taken in the dumps for the secret space program, and I was removed from my normal life for an extended amount of time, a clone was put in my place so nobody would know that I was missing or catch on. Even for Project Seagate, I was gone for 3 weeks, but nobody noticed because a clone was in my place.
What's Project Seagate?
Project Seagate is where we actually walk through a gate into another dimension.
A Stargate.
A stargate, yes. And the reason why it's called a seagate is because it was a stargate, but it was on the bottom of the ocean floor under the sea waves. So they call it a seagate. But it looked like a big door, kind of with water falling over it, similar to the movie Stargate in the 1980s. But when we walked through the gate, our bodies were sitting in the chair in the dumps, but we used the silver cord to walk through the gate into other dimensions.
So
I look at.
you bilocated, am I right? Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, I guess if you want to call it that, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like I look at Mars and Saturn as different dimensions, not necessarily other physical planets.
Okay. Holly, just for the benefit of the audience, and they may not be familiar, I have addressed it in the past, but in 2008, and these experiments are ongoing, Leipzig, Germany. They did teleportation where there was bilocation. They would teleport an inanimate object to the other side of a long laboratory, and momentarily the object was where it started and it was where it finished. And eventually the original object disappeared. And this is well documented. This isn't anything that's even controversial. They talked about using it for material purposes, like for shipping products and so forth. And the project has gone relatively dark now. But that to me is what you're describing there when you talked about going into interdimension with the bilocation aspect.
Yes, they have advanced technology or fallen angel technology, alien technology. But just like in the Bible when it talks about Nimrod, I may have it incorrect, but I thought he turned himself into a mighty man. So they have this technology in the dumps, and I think that's a part of the reason why I went through these super soldier projects is they're trying to create another race of mighty men that are that they can control and manipulate.
Is this what the Bible calls the men of renown?
It could be. It could be because aren't the men of renown the offspring of the fallen angels? They're the Nephilim that keep
That
producing,
fits.
reproducing. Yeah, men of renown.
That definitely fits. It's kind of interesting how we can talk about this so openly. Because if I would have brought this up even 8, 10 years ago, the men with the butterfly nets would have shown up to take me away to an institution. But this stuff is now out there. Although my dad and I talked about this, he really thought the alien thing was going to be the great deception because they were fallen angels and they were trying to get the New World Order and one world government to oppose Christ's return when he and the angels return. And that was his notion of this. And we know that the Nazis had direct contact. I don't know the history of Mengele. I'd like to know a little more. I know Hitler escaped, okay? And I know Bormann escaped, and we have all kinds of documentation on that. But what about Mengele? What was his story? Do you know anything about how he escaped and where he ended up?
Well, honestly, it was through Operation Paperclip. I heard that he went to Canada and Argentina, but current day, from my understanding, he was successful at life extension. So in 2008, he was the one to release me from these super soldier projects.
Wow, that's
So
interesting.
as far as I know,
2008.
he's still alive and he did not drown in 1979 like they say he did.
I believe Hitler died in 1970. Okay. Bormann, I'm not sure, but with Hitler, I'm pretty sure of that. The series Hunting Hitler really did a good job running that down. But with Mengele, I just didn't know his final disposition. He clearly would have been hung if he'd have been tried the Nuremberg trials. But it's interesting that he's still alive.
I think so. I
I
think
wonder
he was.
how old would that make him now? Do you have any idea?
No, I never stopped to calculate because the last time I saw him was in 2008.
Okay.
Unless I'm mistaken, but that's my understanding.
That's 63 years after World War II. And then you've got, I would imagine he was what, probably 40-ish in the war.
It
So he's
would
about,
put him up there.
yeah, it'd be over 100, but not tremendously over 100. Well, look, Brzezinski lived to 100, Rockefeller lived to 103.
Queen
That's not,
Elizabeth lived way too long herself,
yeah,
so.
exactly. Yeah, that's so that's not really out of the realm of possibility. That's, boy, I tell you, that is fascinating stuff here that you actually had encounters with Mengele. So how did you know that you were part of a CIA operation, though?
How did I know? When I was a child going through it, they told me.
Okay.
They told me point blank. When I was 3 years old, I remember the white lab coat saying, "We're going to turn you into a super soldier and turn you into a myth." And I remember looking at another child saying, "What does that mean? What's a myth? What's a super soldier?" I just couldn't comprehend what they were saying, but the lab coats told us that that's what we were going through.
Just incredible. So let's go through the part of your rescue that I really find fascinating. Okay. In your bio, it says that there were three super soldiers. Are they the ones that rescued you?
Well, they had a big hand in it. In 2008, Joseph Mengele spent time working on my brains, if you will, and he released me and he said, "If you ever come back, they'll kill you." I did not want to go. I didn't want to leave. So I struggled with it. But in December 2011, I still had not really woken up to the whole MK Ultra and what had happened to me. And when I was out on vacation in Colorado, I was approached by three super soldiers, but they were also kids that I was trafficked with as a, like, I was locked in a cage with these kids when we were like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. So when they had gotten free themselves, they came to me, and at the time, I didn't know what they were doing, but they were trying to regress me to get me to wake up. And they asked me, "Holly, don't you remember us?" And they told me, "We're getting out. We've gotten out, and we're going to go on TV and tell the world what happened to us. Do you want to come with us? What would you like to do?" And it still took me 3 years after that, as well as quitting a bunch of prescription medications, to finally wake up fully out of the MKUltra programming and hypnosis, to realize what happened to me and to fully choose, "No, I'm not going back. I'm not going back."
In your bio, it talks about the numerous alter egos you had as a result of what people would call in the vernacular MPD or dissociative identity disorder. That's a typical result of kids that are ritualistic abused. I mean, it's typical. And that means typically the abuse starts before the age of 8. After 8, you get post-traumatic stress disorder and things like that because the imagination of a young child can disassociate from who they are. Anyway, long story short, how did you become reintegrated?
By Heavenly Abba's grace, through the blood of the Lamb. Honestly, I turned to my faith and I turned to Yahusha, and I really didn't know him, but I turned to him, asked him into my life, and he had helped me come off my prescription medications. I was on a lot of them, and he helped me find a natural way of living. And so my alters saw that, and I think my alters were sick and tired of the trauma and abuse, and I think my alters really wanted healing themselves. Well, I got a bug in my ear, and someone told me that his words were still living, and if they're still living, that means that miracles and healings and curings can still happen. So I basically got my Bible and I started to read and listen to it. And as my altars came forward, instead of being embarrassed about them, I got to know them. And they were the ones that went through the trauma for me. So they had held all the information.
That's typical,
So
yeah.
I would get their stories. I would treat them the way I wanted to be treated. And I would always turn them over to Yahusha and say, look at what he's done for me. And his words are still living. And you went through all that satanic ritual abuse. So meet Yahusha, Yahusha, my altar, altar Yahusha. And I repeated that cycle. And then one day came that Heavenly Abba just had all of my altars rejoin my personality. A day came where my altars, they showed themselves to me, but rather than taking me over, they just stood there and showed themselves to me.
Yeah.
And when I moved, I think I went to blow my nose, and I saw them move their hands the same way I did. And well, anyway, that's when Heavenly Abba took all of my altars and they filed into me. I just saw them all come back into me, into one whole body. So I'm all patched up. But it was through the blood of the Lamb that that healing occurred.
Well, you
He's the
just
only way.
described the integration process that psychologists would use, because in the beginning, and just for the audience, when someone has dissociative identity disorder, they're generally unaware of most or all of their alternative personalities. We call this alternating. And then in therapy, the objective originally is to get the different alter egos and the host aware of each other so they can begin to integrate into one whole. And that's a very difficult process filled with a lot of ups and downs. And as a consequence, you can think someone's better and then they have regression. So ladies and gentlemen, what she's described here is exactly the process that one would go through in therapy, only with your situation, it was spiritual therapy, not so much at the hands of a psychologist.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing anyway.
Yes. Honestly, yeah. It didn't. When I went to a psychologist, I had to first explain to them what a dumb was, who Joseph Mengele was. I had to explain who Russ Dizdar and spiritual warfare were.
Yes.
So to have to explain to psychologists and psychiatrists what MK Ultra is in the first place, just to be able to tell them my problem, to ask for help. That was not help to me.
Did they
So,
keep you drugged when you were younger?
well, I was told I had learning disabilities and ADD, but I never took medicines for that. However, I was always sick as a kid, so they were always giving me medications for that. Did I hear the question right?
No, you, yeah, I just, because here's the thing when I've interviewed people who've had similar experiences to you, I don't think quite this dramatic, but similar experiences. What I keep coming across is it doesn't matter how you're confined, or in your case, it was planned conception and confining from conception, that the nature of freedom that's inherent in all of us begins to surface. That's really what led to my question about did they have to drug you to control you at some point? And you would expect around the age of 10 or 12 that that's when we start to rebel against our parents, because we want our freedom. And that's when I would expect that maybe your rebellious nature would have started to come out against this imposition.
Honestly, I didn't have that rebellious stage until I was in my 20s. High school was the worst 4 years of my life, between being bullied there, but also having to live with my biological mother. She was also abusive, but I was saddled with my sister. So I had to be responsible. There was no room for rebellion. But once I grew up and I got a full-time job and some independence, then I rebelled. But no, when I was in my teenage years, I had problems with anxiety. And when I was 16, they put me on Xanax. But I didn't really start acting out until my 20s, but I never knew why I was acting out, and it was because of the MK Ultra.
I'm surprised they didn't put you on Haldol, and basically that treats what would hallucinatory experiences often common to schizophrenics. There's modern
When
versions of the drug now. That's the base drug, and I'm surprised they didn't do that to try to control those symptoms after you escaped. How old were you when you freed yourself from this oppression?
In 2014 is when I woke up to the MK Ultra, so I was 40 years old, and that was also when Heavenly Abba allowed me to be co-conscious, so I could actually see what was happening with the altars. I was helpless to do anything about it. But for the first 40 years of my life, I was not co-conscious. The altars would come forward and just take over. But in 2014, I had a meltdown. I suffered from an episode of shell shock. Like when soldiers come back from war, they might have an episode of shell shock where they're acting out a bit of war that they lived through, but they're not in war, they're at home now. Well, that happened to me, and I started reenacting human hunting parties that I had been put through. And I signed myself into the mental ward, and they gave me a liquid lobotomy, and that medicine was just one of the ones that they gave me for a few days. But once I got out of the hospital, I never kept up taking those medications.
Okay, I want to go back to you were rescued by three former super soldiers. Were they regular size? Were they human? And how did they free themselves? And they came back and rescued you. Talk about that a little bit, would you please?
They were regular size, like average looking people. I think one of them was a created human like me. Another one was somebody that, because their parents had military, were military, they were just taken and used in these projects throughout their life. And another man, I think that he was born from a royal bloodline, but they threw him in the MKUltra projects and then just left him there. So they were average built. I'm average builds. But I think for the one super soldier, the MKUltra projects stopped for him. They all got out somehow. They were all released somehow. But the biggest thing is that the four of us, when we were little kids and we were in the dumps, we were being sent into MKUltra projects where we would where we were going to lose ourselves, and we would never remember who we were. They were really brutal. And me and three little boys made a pact that should any one of us get out, we would come back for the others. And they teased me saying I was chicken and I would not come back for them. But I promised them, I promised them on God's name that I would come back. But anyway, they got out first. They got their memories back. They had remembered what happened to me. And because I was not awake and on the scene and going to conferences and whistleblowing, they came back for me in 2011 and confronted me. And it did help me to eventually wake up. But that's not the only time. There was another time in 2014 because I was really slow waking up. I was really buried under the MKUltra programming. It took a lot for me to wake up. Voice-to-skull technology. I usually don't like to talk about this
Yeah,
at all.
let's not brush over that term because the audience
Okay.
know what that is. Nick Begich really popularized the exposure of that to the European Union in 1997 when he was able to project voices into someone's head, and these legislators in Europe could not tell reality from the fake voices. And that's what voice-to-skull technology is. I want my audience to know that, so please go ahead, continue.
There were 3 days in 2014 where this technology was used on me. And it was December 2014, and out of nowhere this voice starts talking to me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not schizophrenic. like, this is not just going to happen out of the blue, but I had heard about voice-to-skull technology. The thing is when it's used on you, you're sick. You don't feel good. You feel like you're in a car accident. This technology hurts your body in a physical manner. It's not nice. And it's different than demonic possession. But anyway, after 3 days of this voice driving me nuts, all of a sudden I heard a door open and a second man's voice scream, "Does she know who she is yet?" And then it sounded like books and papers were pushed off the desk, and then a door slammed shut. And that's when I knew, okay, I was a super soldier. This has really happened to me. This is not in my head. I need to wake up and I need to face what's happened.
What kind of abilities does a super soldier have?
The other super soldiers might get mad at me saying this, but I think their supernatural abilities come from the demonic possession, because we were forced apart to be a part of these satanic rituals, but it was to summon down the fallen ones to obtain their powers and then use them on our own, as well as we were chipped and surgically enhanced with advanced technology too. So, I would say for super soldiers, I would be sent out on missions and assignments, maybe me and one other person. And for instance, we did a Rothschild assassination attempt. We were successful though. But anyway, it was an attempt. And while the other soldier went in, I kept a lookout in a spiritual manner, not only a lookout to see who was walking into the banquet and what was going on, but also in a spiritual manner, I could tell him telepathically, okay, the coast is clear, or so and so just walked in the building. If we were sent into combat scenarios, we were sent down to the jungle to get rid of entities that don't belong here on Earth. And that was helpful because I needed to know which way the other soldier would run or which way he was going to jump so I could be right behind him and know his different moves. So we had different abilities and connections in that capacity.
Is that inbred in the birthing process, or is it an ongoing process where abilities are added over time?
I think abilities are added over time. Absolutely.
Well, this I'd like to say I've never heard of this before, but I've heard enough of it, but not quite to the details that you are. What do you think their ultimate goal is with MK Ultra? What's the purpose?
To use it on a grand mass scale. Like, they no longer have to get you under the age of 6 to fracture your mind and program you. They don't have to get you with certain genetics. They want to use mind control on a grand mass scale and ultimately connect all of us to these D-wave quantum computers and control every aspect of our being.
Wow. It's to the person who's just hearing this, you're going to think, Dave, you've lost your mind. Well, like I said, this has been an education process. You mentioned the space program, and here's what little I know about this going back in time. When my dad did the work, he was on the theoretical side, and it would go to the laboratory, and eventually he had work with the laboratory as a consultant. So it was a lot of anti-gravitational technology they were getting from the Nazis. And he said it never showed up in NASA, so he knew we had a secret space program. Well, later on, it turned out his commanding officer at one point, who has a son my age, and we were good friends growing up because we shared military bases together, he worked for them. And I learned quite a bit about what space program does, but I did not know its connection to MK Ultra. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh boy. I have a bunch of thoughts triggered, and I have one other victim's this other victim that went through the secret space program, he said it's just nothing but pedophiles. We go through such torture, and it's not what anybody, it's not what NASA says it is. The thing I remember about, I can just give you my experiences of it, but training and programming for it was brutal. But once we were there, I mean, we were in a deep underground military base for the secret space program. We weren't really in outer space for it. I remember using different alien aircraft, Adolf Hitler, well, not just Adolf Hitler, but Adolf Hitler, I remember the bell. And there was different.
You're talking about the Nazi bell?
Yep.
Okay.
And the flying triangles. I didn't answer that question very well.
I'm getting some understanding, and look, it's understandable that given what you went through, memory fragmentation is common with what you're talking about here, what you've been through, especially with a person who's reintegrated. Some of those memories are unconsciously and on purpose deleted so they don't interfere, and this is part of the process. So what you're experiencing here is extremely expected. It's not anything bizarre. And I lost my thought on what I was going to ask you next. The Nazi bell, I know it was a time travel device. One of the Germans that my dad worked with had knowledge of it, and he said he was the only surviving person that really knew about it. And I said, what do you mean? He says, they killed all of us. He said, but I just happened not to be there that day. And he said the war ended a few weeks later, and I was already in hiding, and I escaped and was captured by the Americans. So that's how I came to know about the Nazi bell. And then later, my friend, the late Jim Mars, actually wrote about this. He had some information on the Nazi bell. So I'm impressed that you know that, because not many people do. So you've said some things of an original nature that I know what you're saying is for real. We're just about out of time. I want to do a follow-up, though. There's so much we have not touched upon. But I want to make sure that we set people up for your book that's coming out. It's coming out at the end of November. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's called Kids in a Cage.
Yep.
Okay, and you have a website, hollybaglio.com, and I would imagine they can find out how to order the book when it comes out from that site, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I'm working with a publisher. Once I get the corrections back and I make them, I will be putting everything into a PDF file so people can download it.
Okay.
But everything that's going in my book is on my website now for them to read. I did not sell my book, so they can read it right now. But if they wait till the end of the month, I'll have all the corrections and I'll have it into a PDF file for them to download.
I have one last question, and I don't mean to sound overbearing or rude.
Not at all.
How is it that they let you live?
I
have a theory, but I just want to hear.
A couple answers. Honestly, I have Heavenly Abba, number one, but number two, that I don't say certain things.
Okay.
So I don't say certain names.
You know where your stopping point is.
Yes.
I had those discussions with my father in his final days when he was telling me about all this stuff. And he said, there are things that you can never say. I couldn't say anything for years because my mom was getting his two pensions. And if it was disclosed that he had ever violated and it became public, she would have lost everything. And so until my mom passed, I couldn't say anything. But there are still things that I know I can't say. So I want to say this to the audience, folks, what she's saying is real. There's things that I can't talk about that I was told as well, because you'd get more than the knock on the door. Holly, yeah. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. You're brave to tell the story. And I want to get you back on, and good luck with your book. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Kids in a Cage. And at the end of the month, you'll be able to get this at Holly Baglio, B-A-G-L-I-O, hollybaglio.com. Holly, thanks so much, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.